morning, we're going to be thinking on the subject of a challenge to fathers. And we're going to be looking at some scriptures in the Old Testament and the New. And they are imperative, and they are a command, and they are to the fathers. So it's our responsibility, and what an awesome responsibility it is to bring up our children in the Lord and to bring them up to have the greatest life here and the only life hereafter. So in Psalms chapter 78, verses 1 through 8, and then we'll be reading Ephesians 6, 4. And again, I want us not just to look at it, not just to read it. I want us to receive it. Receive it. Take it in. Let it become incarnate in our lives and then to flesh it out on a daily basis. Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Then in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 in the New Testament, fathers, there it is, talking to fathers. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Well, there's a whole lot more to being a father than a biological urge. You know, there's a great responsibility that we have. And we need to understand, realize, when we bring a child into this world, we bring a soul in that's going to be here and for now and for eternity. It never dies. And they're going to look at us, and a lot of times it's whatever we do is going to be what they do. They follow the pattern that's set before them. And if we're living for the Lord, then there's a good opportunity that they will too. Everybody has their own choice to make. We all choose. They have to choose too. But we certainly can't bring them up to make the right choice. We can bring them up to know the Lord. Again, we bring a child into this world. We bring a soul into this world that's going to live forever in one of two places. And that's their choice. But then we have a lot to do with how they make that choice. I don't know whether many of you know of him or not, but Lee Iacocca. He was an engineer, and he was with the Ford Motor Company for several years. And while there, well, he was more or less the one responsible for the production of the Mustang and also the Pinto. Well, then Chrysler went bankrupt. So after Chrysler went bankrupt, he became the CEO of Chrysler, and he's the one who brought them up out of their bankruptcy into solvency. So he had a great career. He was a great responsible man. And we think, man, he must have really dedicated himself, everything he had, to that. He must have spent all his time at the job. Well, I want you to read with me what he had to say in his own personal words. You know, he was probably in his 90s now, and he's worth over a net of $100 million. And listen to what he says to all of us. He says, your job takes up enough time without having to shortchange your family. Still, I've seen a lot of executives who neglect their families, and it always makes me sad. You can't let a corporation turn into a labor camp. Hard work is essential, but there's also a time for rest and relaxation, for going to see your kid in the school play or at a swim meet. And if you don't do these things while the kids are young, there's no way to make up for it later. I learned about the strength you can get from a close family life. I've had a wonderful and successful career. Notice what he says at last. But next to my family, it hasn't mattered at all. His family came first. And to us, God comes first, and then our family comes in second. But in that order. And then we need to make a life rather than just make a living. For us and for them. And a few years ago, there's a song came out entitled The Cat's in the Cradle. I don't know whether you remember that or not. And it certainly illustrates for us what a short time you have your children and how they look to you and how they're going to grow up to be just like you in most cases. So listen to the words of this song as we play it now.
Yeah. Dad, you know I'm gonna be like you. If the cat's in the cradle and the shoe's gone, little boy blue and the man on the phone. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Not today, I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And then he walked away, but his smile never dimmed and said, I'm gonna be like him. Yeah, you know I'm gonna be like him. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I really like, Dad, is the bar and the car keys. See you later, can I have them, please? And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon.
Generation, that's happened far too many times. So I hope we're listening to that. I hope we get the message, because I want to challenge you today to be a different generation. I want you to put God first in your life and your family second, and make a life rather than just make a living. It's not so much what you buy your kids. It's not all the fancy toys. It's the time you spend with them. And they are looking up to you. And most times they'll grow up to be a lot like you. And again, I remind you again, we bring a child into this world, we bring in a child, a soul that's going to live forever in one of two places. And the situation is grave. It's dead serious. It's dead serious. Look at our nation. That's what's wrong with our nation now, because of the family. Barbara Bush said many years ago, said, what happens in the White House is not near as important as what happens in your house. And that is true, because as goes the family, so will go our nation. No, I heard of a father that his son asked him, Dad, what's a Christian? And the father started explaining to him, you know, how to become a Christian and how a Christian lives and the life that he lives and those things that he does. And the little boy looked puzzled and he looked at his dad and said, have I ever seen one? You know, today I believe that's a problem in our world today. Not too many have seen one. Well, we need to start in this generation and start showing them what a Christian really is. Not only to know those things, but to practice those things in our life and set them forth before our children. You know, like the sun, I'm not seeing it a lot today. Not seeing it a lot today. Not a lot of illustration of this. You know, many years ago in the University of Illinois, they decided they were going to run a survey, have some of the students do it. And so they decided on the weekend that between 12 and 2 o'clock in the morning, they were going to call these different homes and find out the parents knew where the kids were. Well, they did call those 1,000 homes, but what they found out was 75% of the time, the kids answered the phone and didn't know where the parents were. And that's been several years ago. And I'm sure it hadn't gotten any better in our time. Well, our kids need to know where we're at. You know, they know where we're at. Then we need to be there with them and training them in the way of the Lord. So I want to challenge this generation to begin the demonstration. Begin the demonstration. Show the world, not only just your family, but the world, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a Christian dad, and bring our family up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. If not, then I can tell you right now, there's perilous times ahead. There's perilous times ahead. We're already reaping a lot of it right now today. So it's going to be perilous times, not only for us, but for our families, for our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids, for all, unless the men start taking their responsibility and be the fathers that God called them to be. Three things I want us to look at this morning. And first, the thing I want to do is receive it, model it, and teach it. Those three areas. And if those are in our life, then it's going to go a long way in us preparing our children, not only for this life, but for eternity. And the first thing we look at is receive God's instruction for yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Be diligent. That means give it every effort. That means give it all you've got, all the gusto you've got. And what are you to do? Who's to do that? You are the one to present yourself before God as one who knows the Word of God, who's practicing the Word of God, who is teaching the Word of God. But, you know, we need to receive it. When I say receive it, you know, it doesn't matter if you can quote the Bible from cover to cover. If it hasn't become incarnate in your life, if it had not become a part of your life, that which you flesh out on a daily basis, then it really doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't really accomplish anything. So we first of all need to receive it. To receive something means you take it in. The Bible does a lot of talk about tasting things. That's what it means. It means to take it in to our life. So I realize the past generation has not done that. So you get to begin anew. You get to start a new fad. You get to be the new peer pressure instead of the ones of the past. So we learn from the past, all right. But what did we learn from the past? Well, we've learned from the past, everything's more important than God. Everything's more important than God. Family, friends, sports, school, education, job, then God. Then God. You think God's going to be pleased if those things took care of all of our life, and then we get to the end of life, we're going to blow the fumes of our life in His face, and He's going to accept it? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. There was a day when society scheduled everything around the church.
That's right.
They didn't have things on Wednesday night. They didn't have things on Sunday. They're not during church time anyway. It had been just a few years back in Cincinnati, Ohio, they started having soccer practice and soccer games at 10:30 on Sunday morning. And the worst part is, the reason they were able to get by with it is because the church people around the area were taking their kids there instead of taking them to church. Well, in days gone by, they would never have scheduled that on 10:30 on Sunday morning because they knew it had been an exercise in futility because the kids wouldn't be there. The kids would be in church with their family. So again, yeah, we learned a lot from the past generation. We learn that which is not to do, and we need to learn to stand up and speak up and bring our children up in the Lord. In other words, we must get our priorities straight. We must get our priorities straightened out. Who or what is most important in your life? Who or what is most important in your life? Who has first priority in your life? Does God have first priority? Then you're going to be doing the things of God. Does the world have first priority? Then you're going to be doing the things of the world. It's that simple. And there's no halfway house. There's no in between. You're either on this side or you're on this side. You know, you're either in or you're out. Now, one door and only two sides. You're either in on the inside or you're on the outside. So again, we must get our priorities straightened out. What is most important to us? Because what is most important to you will also be what's most important to your family, to your kids, to all those that you have contact with. You know, Jesus is to be first place or no place in our life. He makes that plain. And you know, if you have a problem with that, then go back and read Matthew, Mark, and Luke over again. See what Jesus said it meant to be His disciple. Again, there's no halfway house. You're either in or you're out. And you're either with Him and for Him or you're against Him. He said, because you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out. You make me puke. So we need to either get in with the Lord and do the things of the Lord, or we need to just go ahead and walk with the devil. It's up to us. We need to get our priorities straightened out so our kids will know where we stand. They recognize a hypocrite. You know, this thing about our lips and our life must go together. Because if they don't, they recognize that very, very clearly and right away. So you can't pass on what you do not possess. So the very first thing is to be sure that God is in your life, that you have accepted Him, and you have received His Word, yet it has become incarnate in you, and you're living it out on a daily basis as a witness before the world. Your lips and your life go together. You know, it doesn't matter what you say if your life doesn't back it up. You know, do as I say, not as I do, that doesn't cut it with kids. That doesn't cut it. They're watching what we're doing, and we have the responsibility to at least give them the opportunity to be trained up in the Lord so when it comes time for them to make that choice, they'll make the right choice. Amen. They'll make the right choice because they're going to live again in one or two places for all eternity. And a lot of it will be determined by us. And we have such a short time to influence them and to bring them up in the Lord. Second thing this morning is, now that you received it, you need to model it. You need to model it. If you've taken it in, then you need to live it. And it takes a real man to live for Christ in this world today. No hobbies need apply. If you're just going to hobby around with it, you're going to be the most miserable. A lot of people today have enough Christianity to make them miserable, but not enough to make them happy. And you can't ride the fence. You're going to get hit from both sides. So we need to make up our mind where we're going to live, who we're going to live for. So again, as we receive it, if we've received that in our life, then we need to model it in our life. Our sons and our daughters learn most by what we do, not what we say.
That's right.
By what we do, not what we say. What good is a lot of pious sayings if you're not going to live it? What good is a whole bunch of pious sayings if it's not backed up by your life? Doesn't do any good, does it? To anyone. We need to develop a backbone that will stand no matter what others do, no matter what the world does. We made that decision, we already made it up ahead of time, that we're going to live for Jesus Christ, and He comes first in my life, and the things of God come first in my life before the world does. So it doesn't matter what others do. We're going to live for the Lord. We find that Joshua of old said, as for me and my house, what are we going to do? Serve the Lord. And he was among a bunch of people that was supposed to be religious, wasn't he? But he said, as for me and my house, you choose for yourself. But as for me and my house, we're going to live for the Lord. Well, that should be our decision today as well. No matter what the church attenders do, we're going to live for the Lord. And we're going to work for Him, live for Him, love Him. And we're going to present Him before our children in a realistic way. Don't be a worldly wimp. Don't be a worldly wimp. Stand up and model the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is first in everything in our life. Live for the Lord every day, not just on Sunday. If you live for the Lord on Sunday and you live for the world the other 6 days, you're going to be six more times like the world than you are the Lord. So it's a 24/7 proposition that God puts before us. Jesus is first every hour of every day, 24/7. He must be in your life and you must be letting others know that He is first and primary in your life. Live the genuine Christian life so that people will not be shocked to find out that you attend church, let alone be a Christian. You know, don't let them be shocked. You know, many years ago, when I was calling, and I went to this one family's house there, and I knew they knew this other person attended church where I was preaching, so I brought his name up. And boy, their eyes got big, and they got real puzzled. They go to church? He goes to church? I thought, well, made a big mistake there. That's a name I shouldn't have brought up. That certainly was not a good witness. You know, he was living one way on Sunday, but he's living another way the rest of the week. This guy worked with him, so he saw him 5 days a week. So he knew what his life was. So again, we need to be an example not only to our family, but also before the world. Anybody in the community should not have any doubt in their mind that you're a Christian, that you're in Jesus Christ, and you're living for Him. It should be so obvious that even the dogs and cats around your place will notice there's a difference when you're in Jesus Christ. That is a fact. That is a fact. Don't be like the fathers in Psalms chapter 78, verse 8 of our text. And not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Don't be like them. First of all, we need to receive these things of God. Then we need to model these things of God. And now then, thirdly, we're going to look at, we are to teach by our life as well as our lips. We're to teach it. We're to teach it. We're called to serve and told to tell, aren't we? Told to tell. It's all up to us. Notice there in our text verse in Psalm 78, verse 6 and 7, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. So again, that's where we want to live. That's where we want to live. We ought to teach by our life and our lips, by that which we do, that which we say. It should all go together. For centuries, it's been left up to the mothers, hasn't it? For centuries, it's been left up to the mothers. As we look at the New Testament, the only example we find there is Lois and Eunice. Lois and Eunice, Grandma Lois and Mother Eunice. Timothy's faith was dependent upon them. They're the ones that brought him up to in the Lord. Well, wouldn't it be great if it said his granddad by name and his dad by name, that they brought Timothy up in the Lord? That would be great, wouldn't it? But it doesn't say that. So again, for far too long, it's been the mother's responsibility. It was time, fathers, we took it over. It's time we took it over. It's time we lead our family in their worship and service to the Lord Jesus Christ. How sad it is that we've allowed the women to have to take care of all the spiritual matters concerning our children.
Right.
It's time for a change, fathers. And it's our responsibility. Let me repeat that again. It's our responsibility. If you read in these passages and other passages we find throughout the Scriptures, God is called the Father to be the head of the home. He is to be the one who leads His family spiritually and every other area of life.
Right.
He is the one who is to do it. God has given us that responsibility, and we will give an account to God for how we've done it. We will give an account to God. And the sad part is a lot of times our children, because we did not live the life, that they'll be lost too. So it's hard telling how many will be saved if we live the life. It's hard telling how many will be lost because we didn't. So it's time for a change. It's our responsibility. Again, God has called you to be the man of the house, not the mouse. I told a man one time, was asked, says, "Are you a man or a mouse?" And he said, "Pass the cheese." Well, I think we have too many in our world today that are saying, "Pass the cheese." They don't want to stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not want to be and become all that God wants them to be, because God wants them to do these things, and God will give us everything we need in order that we might do this. God never commands anything from your life or mine that He doesn't give us the power to do it. He gives us the power to succeed, the power to do all that He has in our life. We are to take our children to Sunday school, not send them. We are to take them to church, not send them. And we are to stay ourselves. Because we have a lot of learning to do, too. We can study the Bible 24-7 and for 100 years and still not know everything there is to know. And so we need to be in the Word and let the Word get into us. We need to not only just send them to Sunday school, we need to take them to Sunday school, take them to church, and stay and learn for ourselves so that we can teach by our lips and our life. Our lips and our life. And you know, we have such a short time. Short time. I know you think it's a long, long period from the time till they get up to about 2021. It's a very short time.
Yeah.
It's a very short time. And there's no going back. Opportunity has a forelock. And you either grab that forelock as it's coming towards you, because once that opportunity is passed, there's no way of getting hold of it again. As we're going to find out, Brother Ralph Trottle, the blind guitarist, I had a song that really stuck with me, and he's talking about doing it all over again. You know, that I wish my life, I could live my life over again. Well, you can't. You can't. And how sad it is if you didn't live for Christ, didn't bring your children up in Christ, then get to older age yourself and look back with sadness because you didn't do it. Well, listen to what Ralph Trottle says. I have it on the tape here.
Thank you.
sad, very sad. And I hope that none of us today will get to that point where that will be true in our life, where we cannot back up, where we cannot do what needs to be done. We need to lead the way in learning as well as teaching. We need to show the importance to youth of being in the Lord's house on the Lord's day and being around His table and the study of the Word and the be there for the preaching and the teaching, to learn ourselves until we might become teachers. Now, that's one of the problems that they had back in those old days, in the Bible days, is at the time that many of them should have been teachers, they still need to be taught the elementary things of God. Well, that should not be true in our life. And we should get into that Word, have a hunger for it and a thirst for it, and get into that Word and let that Word get into us, and then share it with our children. You cannot teach and model what you do not know.
Right.
So you got to get in there, you got to study, and we have, again, have a very short time. And we can't back up. We cannot back up and do it all over again. It's an impossibility. Well, today I lay before you the greatest challenge of the centuries. The greatest challenge of the centuries. Now, I'm realistic enough that many won't have anything to do with it. Many is just going in one ear and out the other. But hopefully a few of you will take it to heart. And we'll raise up a generation of kids that not only know the Lord, they're in the Lord and they're living for the Lord. And they'll teach their children, and their children will teach their children, because that is the way that it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to go on. And again, what happens in your house is a whole lot more important than what goes on in the White House. So we need to take the responsibility and take it seriously. If we accept the challenge and do it, then the future is bright for ourselves, for our family, and for our society. It'll be bright for all. The greatest thing you can do for yourself and your family is to be prepared for eternity. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And we only have this life to get prepared. There is no purgatory. There is no place to pay for your sins. Wherever you're at when you pass this life is where you're going to be for all eternity. Society is only interested in preparation for this life. That's all they're interested in. You know, get the best job, pays the most money, so you can have the most toys. Well, when you get to the end of life, what's really going to matter? What's really going to make any difference in your life? Jesus asked a most important question that's relevant today. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. And not only just hear it, receive it. Take it in. Listen to what it's saying. Because it's a very serious matter. He says, "For what will a man profit if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" That's a great question, isn't it? And so many today are selling their souls for a little of nothing out there today. A little of nothing. Oh, it's of great value to God. Oh, that it was as great a value to every individual out there today. Because God wants us to come to Him. Fathers, God has called you to lead the way. He's called you to lead the way, and we will give an account to God as how we have handled the responsibility that God has given us.
Right.
I want to ask you one more question. And I think I want you to take it in, receive it, and think very deeply about it. If your family follows your leadership, where will they spend eternity? If your family follows your leadership, you know, where will they spend eternity? Brethren, that's certainly a fearful thing to think about. Fearful thing to think about. Again, you bring a soul into this, or a child into this world, you bring a soul that's going to live forever in one of two places. And we need to take that challenge very seriously. Well, you certainly can't end right if you don't begin right. And the way we begin as fathers is we must come in genuine faith, a faith produced by the Word of God. And that faith then must cause us to repent. And it is the goodness and kindness of God that leads us to repentance. We see all God has done and how good God is, everything He's done for us. How can you help but love Him and want to turn your life over to Him? Everything He's ever done, it's been for our benefit. What a great God we serve. So it causes us to repent. We come to the point where we say, "God, from this day forward, I want to live my life for You with Your help. I want to live your life for You. I want the old man to be crucified and buried with Christ. I want to confess with my lips that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I want to live for Him every day of my life. And I want then to be immersed in order to receive the forgiveness of my past sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit." There's the help to live the life. You cannot live the Christian life unless the Holy Spirit's living in you. It's an impossibility. The flesh does not have the means whereby you can live the Christian life. So you have to have the Holy Spirit. The only place you're going to get it, as far as the Bible is concerned, is when you're immersed into Christ. The past sins are forgiven. And, well, all sins are forgiven, actually. It goes all the way out to eternity. And not only that, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and now you are empowered for everything God has called upon you to do. You have the power to do it. You have the power if you have the desire. And the question is, do you have the desire? It all begins when you come fully surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ and you're obedient to the gospel. Have you done that? If not, you have the opportunity this morning as we stand and as we sing.